Hey guys, this is Doug Aldrich from Burning Rain and Whitesnake, and you're listening to Focus on Metal.
Hey, Metalheads, Scott here.
And Richie.
And we are back once again with another week of Focus on Metal. Having a good week?
Yeah.
You braved the snowy tundra to get down to the studio
yeah,
tonight?
Yeah, I nearly couldn't find your house.
Why am I still wearing headphones? Just got off the phone just a few minutes ago with our guest this week, Doug Aldrich, and I'm still wearing my can. So.
Okay.
It's the snow, man.
It is the snow. Well, you're putting stuff on your ears all day to stay warm.
Freaking snow out there. It's what? We've had like 111 inches of snow this month or something. It's been insane.
Hey, hold on a second. Let's go a metric here. What's that, about 5 feet? I went out yesterday and I pushed a snowblower into it and I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
That'll tell you how high it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But yeah. Richie braved it, came down the studio so we could once again bring another week of Focus on Metal. So definitely good to have you back in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to say, a couple weeks ago, you know, we were talking about pro people coming in to do podcasting and stuff. And I did my little rant about that.
Yeah.
And I got to say, to be honest, I heard one of those guys on somebody else's podcast. And I think I owe Chris Jericho an apology.
Okay.
I heard him do an interview on Kevin Smith's show, and wow, I mean, not that I listened to his show, but just, I mean, the way he came across and everything else, I definitely had him pegged wrong as far as the reason for being in podcasting. And he went through how he gets people, a lot of how he gets guests is like the same way we get guests is that kind of thing, you know, beg, borrow and steal kind of a deal. And I really came away with a really much higher opinion of the guy than I had prior.
Well, I like Fozzy. I like the band.
Oh, great band. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like the band.
Yeah.
I do admire him because I don't know how long a wrestling career he has left. Mm. He's in his early 40s.
Yeah.
I still think he goes back every now and again, and I'm sure that's lucrative.
Yeah.
But he'll get in on a bus and go on or in a van, and he'll play dates everywhere.
Yeah, no,
like,
I was...
You have to be a serious metal fan.
Oh, yeah.
Or seriously into your craft to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and he gets, you know, he talks about being equally as psyched about getting a lot of the same people on that we get on as well. And so I felt that after listening to that and having I'm obviously not a big wrestling guy.
No,
I'm
me neither.
Not a wrestling guy at all. Definitely like Fozzy, great stuff. I mean, and you know, I've got a couple of the discs up on the shelf and stuff, but I just felt like I had been misinformed and slighted him. And I just kind of wanted to say, hey, you know, I feel a lot differently now after listening to that. And so it was pretty cool to see how he approached it.
We got a bit too heavy on Eddie Trunk. We're really talking in general about, and we did mention other podcasts.
Yeah,
in
we
the
did.
End.
Yeah,
we went off on Eddie a bit.
Yeah.
Bit, maybe a little bit heavy, but like the Chris Jericho podcast, I listen to some of them. If he is a wrestler on, I'm not downloading it, right?
Yeah.
Even some of the musicians he is on,
yeah.
I'm not going there. No, he is more of a celebrity name, and
sure,
he will get a higher profile guest on.
Yeah.
Than we would, but we've had some of the guys on our show as well.
Right.
Again, yeah, but he's a fan.
Right.
Like he is a massive Iron Maiden fan. Huge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Huge Maiden fan, and he loves metal. And you know, were we tough on Chris Jericho? I don't think you were tough on him at all.
I just think that what I said was a little bit misinformed, and I feel if I say something that I think probably was wrong, then I got to own it.
Yeah, but
so
I'm
owning it.
Yeah, but I think you picked on him because he's a celebrity name who's doing a podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think that's picking on the person. I think you're just using him as a name guy.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, or you mentioned Jamie Jasta from Hatebreed. I think one of the things that bugs us is that the guys, if they're in bands, they're in further than we are.
Yeah.
I think that, and they're doing podcasting. I think that's the bug, I think, that a lot of people like us have. It's the guys that are in the bands that are already have the contacts at the labels. They might know these guys personally.
Yeah.
And they'll get the guys on, and they're competing with us in the podcasting world. Right. I think that's the bug of the argument, to be honest.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, definitely. Definitely is. But anyways, I just, you know, wanted to throw that out there. And you know what? Now I'm going to make myself feel better by playing a track of the week. Okay, track of the week this week. It seems like a theme has fallen into place for this week's show, and that's kind of more of the melodic side of metal. And I happen to be sitting on a new release that I've had for a few weeks now, but it actually drops this week, and it is from the band Eclipse. It's their first album since 2012's Bleed and Scream. Their new one is called Armageddonize. Don't even ask me to try spelling that one. And as I said before, that one drops this week in North America. It dropped on February 20th in Europe. So this one is heavily in the melodic metal slash hard rock vein. And of course, the main characters in this is Eric Martinson and Magnus Henriksen, and they've been involved with a whole bunch of different artists throughout the last year or so. Just been really busy working with all kinds of folks, you know, Adrenaline Rush, who we had on the show, Jeff Scott Soto, Jimmy Jameson, just a whole bunch of people these guys have worked with over the past year. So very busy in the melodic metal community, and they also have a tour going on. They played their first date on January 10th at the Ice Rock Festival in Switzerland, but beginning of March 4th, they kick it off in Stockholm, Sweden, and go right through until July 17th. And I will note that on April 11th, they are playing the Frontiers Rock Festival in Milano, Italy. And of course, this week's guest, Doug Aldrich, will also be playing at that festival in Burning Rain. So, all right, we got a busy show this week. Let's get right to track of the week from the band Eclipse, from their brand new one, Armageddonize, out this week. This track is called Stand on Your Feet. There we go. Track of the week. Another great one. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. Make sure you support the artist as well. So, killer guest this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's funny. You know, you were talking about this, and I said the things at the beginning. And of course, we're recording this tonight. And our guest tonight was actually on Eddie Trunk's show
last night.
So,
on his Sirius XM show.
But you know, once again, guys, Richie pulled it off, came up with a great guest this week. Just kind of out of the blue, just messaging me about this. And we had a great time having Doug Aldrich on last time. And once again, this week, we had another great talk with him.
Yeah, well, he wasn't in Vienna this time.
No Vienna this time. No, but no, I mean, I really appreciate you getting him on. Like I said, he's always a good guy to have on. Always a good talker. That's always easy for me for editing.
Yeah.
The longer they talk, the less editing I have to do. So
great player.
Yeah,
great,
absolutely.
Player. You know, I saw him, first time I saw him, I think it was when Dio did Holy Diver.
Uh-huh.
Did the whole concert in Dublin. And he was a very, very, very last minute replacement for Craig Goldie.
Yeah.
And I think it was a day or two before the gig, I found out that Doug was playing the gig, and I was like, oh, fantastic. Well, I was right up in the front, and
yeah,
starts off, you know, We Rock, or I can't remember what the first song was, and then of course they played the whole Holy Diver record. It was incredible.
Yeah,
absolutely incredible. Yeah. Stuff. And then I saw him a couple of times at Whitesnake, and he's just a fantastic player, great stage presence. I love his style, just, you know, real bluesy hard rock style. Yeah. which I love.
Yeah.
And, just a great guy to talk to as well, just really down to earth guy. Like we spoke to him for 4 or 5 minutes beforehand.
Yeah.
about something personal, and you know, he was just really cool about it and all. Yeah. That he wasn't let's get this over with kind of, just very, very nice guy.
He's always been really super and stuff, and obviously we're having him on because this week is when the brand new Revolution Saints album come out, which is with Dean Castronovo and with Jack Blades, and obviously Doug Aldrich on guitar. And you know, it was interesting, I was sitting there thinking about it today because the cold killed my car. And, the fact that I know that you kind of hate these super group type of things, but you've been very excited about the Revolution Saints album.
Yeah. I don't hate them. I hate the fact that they don't.
I know. You're disappointed that they don't tour. You don't get to see them tour.
I love the Rated X record.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's probably one of my favorite albums of last year, right? The Sweet Lynch record is very strong as well.
Yeah.
It's really good. And then you've got the Revolution Saints record, which is really good. It's an 80s melodic rock record.
Sure, which is what you would expect from those three guys.
It's a heavier version of Journey, is how I'd put it. It's got Dean Castronovo singing on it. And if anyone's never heard him sing lead, he does some lead vocals in a Journey concert. I think they're going to be very surprised.
Yeah.
He is a very, very strong singer. He did sing one track on a Journey album, the Generations record, with Steve Ogieri.
Uh-huh.
I think three or four of the guys in the band sung on that besides Steve. I think he was having vocal issues at the time. And Dean sang one song solo.
Right. And he used to sing more songs. Like, I saw them with when Jeff Scott Soto was with them, and he sang a couple of songs within the set as well. And it seems like now they have Arnell, and I think he does one.
Yeah, they had him sing Mother Father when I saw him. The first time I saw Journey live was, and it was Arnell's, it's one of Arnell's first concerts.
Mm.
And Dean sang Mother Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about 20 yards from the stage, and I was like, holy shit, this guy is a fantastic singer. Because normally, you know, you don't realize how good these guys are that do backups until you actually hear them, because they get buried.
Yeah.
They get buried in the mix with everybody else, and they might be turned down a little bit from the lead vocalist, and you can't really hear them. But when they actually get a chance to shine, you go, wow, this guy can really sing.
Yeah.
And he can really sing. You know,
it's tough too when you're trying to mic a drummer. I mean, it's kind of an art to not get the drum bleed on the mic as well. So, you know, because you're hitting an instrument that's very close to that mic as well. So a lot of times you see those live things where the drummers do the backups and there's a tech who like swings the boom mic in, they sing and swing it away again, kind of a thing. Plus the fact that, I mean, they're moving and like they can't have a mic in front of them. And
if they play live, it'll be interesting.
But,
I asked Doug about that, but you know, solid record. When the pictures came out, it was Doug and Jack, and you know, I love Doug's playing. I like Night Ranger. I love Journey.
Yeah.
Right? I was thinking, oh, this is going to sound great. But then the back of my mind was, why are they going to tour? It's just a natural thing, you know, because you want to see, you know, if the album's good, you want to see it in a live setting.
Right.
You know, and again, you know, just a couple of shows, you know, a handful of shows, don't play no shows. I think that's the bugbear that I have. Right.
But I think what was good, I mean, you asked Doug about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, we'll let people hear the answers and stuff. But I mean, he gave some pretty solid answers that kind of led you to go, they've thought about this.
Yeah.
There's been some, it isn't just, okay, we'll get the album and then we'll think. I mean, he had some really good, solid ideas about what they might do. So,
well, I think any of these guys, be it Michael Sweet, Joe Lynn Turner, who we've talked to, and now Doug, I think there's two questions that are going to be, all of them are going to be asked. Is one, the supergroup question.
Yeah.
And two, it's the touring question.
Yeah.
There are the two questions I reckon everybody's asking. You know what? It's understandable.
Yeah.
You know, because people are looking at these things and they're thinking, Frontiers Records, manufactured band, and you're all not even recording in the same room. The album could be good. It doesn't matter how good it is. You're on to your main band and it's over.
Yeah.
And they're understandable questions. They're questions I'd ask.
Sure.
You know, because I'm a fan of these guys. I'm like, you know, what's the end game?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And fairness, Doug answered.
Oh yeah,
you know,
no, he did.
I asked Michael the same question, and Joel and Turner was the same way. I think, you know, are they a bit on the defensive? I'd say after a while, like if they're doing a string of interviews,
yeah,
and we're the last interview, and we're going super group, and are you going to tour?
Yeah,
I think they might be going, you know, by the end of it. But they're understandable questions. They really are.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, but definitely. No, I think it's interesting. I resisted the urge to ask when he was talking about the fact that Neil played a solo on there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask about, did Neil use his new PRS signature and all that? I just kept all the technical questions away tonight. So
yeah. Actually, nope. I did. I asked most of the questions.
No technical questions tonight. I just,
no, that's,
yeah, you did a great job.
That's for another time.
Yeah.
I think when you get some guy on like that, you're a fan. And you can think a while about what you're going to ask him. Like, I could have easily gone, are you in a super group?
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. And I think, you know, if you can go down those lines if you want, but I think when we have Michael on, I think when I kind of went off the Sweet Lynch thing a little bit and asked him about his book, and I asked him about working with Veronica Freeman. Mm. I think, you know, people mightn't have asked him at all about that. I think, oh, thank God, someone's asked me a different question. You
sure.
know? I think that's the way to go with these guys. And I think they probably appreciate it a bit more. It's like, you know, this guy actually knows a little bit more about me.
Mm-hmm.
Might scare him as well though, but you know, it's, I think that's the way to go with it. There's certain questions you can't avoid.
Yeah.
You have to ask him about the writing of the record. Did you think of, you know, what did you think at the start of it? Did you think it'd morph into a supergroup kind of thing? You kind of have to go there, or he will go there himself, because that's the way he's been going in all the other interviews.
Yeah, I think he was great. He was, you know, he was definitely a good interview. Had lots of great answers and stuff. So yeah, no, I think it was a great job.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Let's roll it, and then you can hear what Doug has to say.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, how about leading this off with a little Doug Aldrich playing behind the legendary Ronnie James Dio on the Holy Diver Tour, playing, of course, the one and only title track, Holy Diver. We'll slide right into our talk with Doug right from this one.
Something is coming for you. Look out! race to the morning. You can hide in the sun until you see the light. Oh, we will pray it's all right. Gotta get away. Get away. Between the velvet lights, there's a truth that's out of steel, yeah. Say the vision never dies. Let's never end.
All right, listeners. Well, on the phone tonight, I have somebody who probably scratched Dee Snider from his Christmas card list for 2015. That will be the one and only Doug Aldrich. So how are we doing tonight, Doug?
I'm good. Good to speak to you guys.
I want to start. What sort of plan did you have after you left Whitesnake? Did you have a musical plan?
Not really. No, I mean, I had the Revolution Saints thing that was on the back burner kind of, because I had started to work with David on his next project, and things were going well, but then we just, schedule wise it wasn't really working well for him, and he wanted to be, you know, I set it up that way because I've always been there for him 1,000%, whenever he needed me over the years, whatever. I was there, and this was a situation where I basically had my son living with me full time with a brand new wife. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't commit to a full on 7 day a week. Even a 5 day a week schedule would have been really difficult with that, with the way that it was. So, it was getting tense with DC and I love him, and DC, he's my brother, and I've had such great experiences. I felt like, this is something that, he put Whitesnake on hiatus when he had his son was growing up, and that's kind of where I felt like I was. I was very proud of what we had done together and what we created, and I wished him the best, but I just felt like I needed to concentrate on my boy and my wife. And so I didn't really have a plan, but I had kind of put Revolution Saints on the back burner, and then it became a lot more comfortable for me to just do that recording when I could. And then, of course, I was doing, for 2 months prior to that Whitesnake situation, I committed to doing Raiding the Rock Vault in Las Vegas, and it's a really great show, really fun show with killer musicians. It's at the Tropicana Hotel now, and it's with Howard Leese and Hugh McDonald from Bon Jovi, Howard Lee from Heart, and Jay Sheldon, and Rob McCauley from Michael Schenker. Just a really great, and other guys, just a great group of guys. Everybody is really cool. And it's not like a traditional Vegas show. It's kind of safe, family oriented. It's really just like a dangerous rock show, and the playing is really good. And so I was doing that. And I was recording Revolution Saints in the daytime, actually at a different hotel is where we were. And I was recording in the basement where Elvis used to hang out in between his shows. It was at the Hilton Hotel originally last year. And when I was doing guitars for Revolution Saints, I was looking for a place to record. And Elvis had finished his run at that hotel. 7 years he worked there. And, this guy said, "Well, why don't you go work in the old Elvis bar?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he showed me this bar that was under the stage. It had kind of two secret staircases that had since been blocked off. And it was a place where he would go in between songs or whatever and go down and hang out with his bros, the Rat Pack guys or whoever. Mm-hmm. And that's where I recorded the guitars. So, but I didn't really have that's your original question. I didn't have a set plan. I was kind of like, okay, I just need to focus on family right now, and we'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah. Now, when you started that, the Revolution Saints record, was it a Revolution Saints album, or was it a Dean Castronova solo record?
That's right. It started off as a Dean Castronova solo record, and I don't remember exactly when it kind of started to switch to a band thing. I mean, we all kind of listened to, even though in the beginning it was a Dean record, we listened to the songs that were being presented and tried to put in our two cents on what we could do to, and whether the song, you know, was this the right group of songs. And actually, somewhere along the line, it just kind of morphed into a band project. And really, it's not even remember when, but it was probably sometime in the beginning of 2014. It was like, okay, this really should be a band thing. And I would have been happy either way, whether it was Dean project or a band project, just because I love Dean a lot. He's a great guy and is such a talented, such an amazing musician, you know, and, yeah. And then to find out that he had picked Jack to work on it, I was really excited no matter what.
Yeah, no, I remember a couple of years ago I saw Dean playing with Journey and he sang Mother Father and he completely blew me away with his vocals. Did you realize how good a singer he was?
Well, I did because Whitesnake and Journey toured together a lot over the years and I've heard him do that same thing. And also, he also would sing a lot of times faithfully too.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was, but I do know how he was a great singer, but he's, you know, I would always still focus on his drumming because he's fierce as a player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was apparent once he started singing that it was going to be a really special record because he took it further than we kind of all knew.
Now I'm curious, Alessandro Del Vecchio, when he wrote the material, how formed was it when he actually got it? Like, had it instrumentation on it? Had it lyrics?
It was pretty well formed. I mean, you know, there was just some spots where here and there where it felt like, you know, coming from my perspective, I just wanted to try and expand on some things a little bit and maybe arrange the riffs slightly differently in certain spots. Some stuff I just did it. I basically just played it my way, exactly how he had written it. Mm-hmm. But other things, I spoke to him about, you know, are you cool with me, you know, going down this road or that road? And he was always really cool. He just, you know, I'd send it to him, he'd go, oh, that's great, I love it, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was never a thing. It was kind of like a free reign. And that's pretty much what he said. He said, I just want you to sound like what you sound like with Whitesnake. And which is basically me just doing my thing. And the songs are, you know, they have the songs, the way they were written, presented, definitely initially had a flair of Journey to them, which is a good thing, you know, kind of, you know, gearing up for Dean's fans. And then I think he wanted me to kind of do my thing so that it would relate to. So what I think they wanted was that it sounded like a nice mix of Journey, Whitesnake, and Night Ranger. And
yeah.
So that's really what we were trying to do.
Yeah. Was it weird for you in the beginning? Because normally you're involved in the songwriting from the ground up.
Yeah, it was not weird at all because initially I agreed to do it as a session. And then once we started talking about it, Jack and I actually, we had talked about writing some songs together for it. And we both thought that would be a good thing. But it was, and we actually even did. I was in the gym one day, and I was talking to Jack, and he's very easy to write with because I just kind of sang him a riff on the phone, and he goes, "Oh yeah, that'd be cool." And then he went and recorded a little demo of it and sent it back to me, and then I sent him some other riffs that he really liked. But in the end, we were. I think when that was going down, I was still in Whitesnake and I was trying to do all things together. And so I put Revolution Saints or that project kind of on the back burner a little bit. And so we didn't end up writing anything. And actually Jack ended up, he was moving at the time. So he was like, well, I had that demo, but it was at the other house. So it just got confusing. And, but no, to answer your question, It was not weird at all. It was kind of refreshing to just hit something as a session player, putting my stamp on it musically.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was refreshing was not, you know, when you when you're writing, obviously my style of writing is slightly different. Maybe I was trying to add a little more of a blues flair to the guitar parts and stuff, blues, heavy blues, whatever. But when you compose, those things get in your head and you are developing the song and you get it from the very beginning all the way through the demo process, through the recording process and mixing process. And you can be either right on target or you can sometimes lose perspective and you need to take a break and then come back to it. And that's why sometimes, you know, records take a long time, because if you don't have a really solid team working on it together, sometimes you lose perspective and your choices are either put it out without knowing if it's ready yet or putting the brakes on it. And that's a lot of times what happens. So with this thing, we didn't have that because we had a great team. Everybody was doing different things and you could keep it fresh. And when I started playing the guitar parts, it just felt really fresh and fun to play on. And then I sent my work in to the Alessandro and to Dean and Jack, and it was mixed. And I didn't toil over anything. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've had the record now for a couple of weeks, and there's one standout track on it, and it's buried at the end of it, and that's To Mend a Broken Heart. Incredible song.
Oh. That's actually, I think that was a song that he wrote for somebody else originally, but there is, I love that song too. And originally I thought that might be a single.
Yeah, definitely.
And, that was one where there was some slight arrangement changes on that I think were good moves that we did. And, there's another track, it's called Trapped in Paradise. Locked Out of Paradise. No, hold on.
Yeah, Locked Out of Paradise. You're right.
Yeah. That song is kind of similar, and that song kicks ass. It's got this really crazy groove, and I'm really happy with the guitar work on it. for me, there's a bunch of really, I mean, the whole record's really strong. There's a couple of songs that I really love. For me, the standout track is Way to the Sun, which mm-hmm. is, it's kind of, for me, important for records to have a cornerstone track. And I think that's the one. And then also Neil Sean played on it, which was great. Mm-hmm. And there's two versions, actually. I did a version of a, originally Neil was going to do it, and then he didn't do it. He wasn't going to be able to do it schedule-wise. So I put a solo on top of the rhythms that I had already done, and we ended up being able to have two versions with that. So one's got Neil's solo, one's got mine, and they're both cool. They're both different, but I really love that song, the way it starts off acoustically and builds into a real, really, you know, strong musical.
Yeah, no, of course, the obvious question is, you're going to have trouble if you go out on tour because your drummer is a singer.
Yeah, you know, and that's a situation where I think that we talked about how would we do that, and we decided, you know, it would be really cool to have Dean come out from behind the kit for a couple songs.
Yeah,
and also, you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing necessarily to have Jack take over lead vocals on a couple things, and even though maybe, you know, like, for example, Arnell Denera sang on the record, and he did a killer job on it. But maybe on that song, you know, maybe that would be something that the Jackets could take, you know. And so we find a way to do it. I think if we are able to, we've had some really good offers for touring. You know, I've talked about it since you brought it up. We all three want to do it. We have to see if we can work it out schedule-wise,
yeah,
because this year is pretty busy for all three of us in different capacities, but we really want to do it. And I think we'd be able to put together a killer live show based on what's on the Revolution Saints record, and then a couple of songs that Jack had done, and a solo song of Dean's, and a couple of songs that I had written with David that we never got to play live in Whitesnake.
Yeah.
And then just do them the Revolution Saints way, you know?
Yeah, true.
Do them in a way that was more, like, for example, from the Whitesnake perspective, songs like Good to Be Bad or Call on Me or even doing a song like Love Will Set You Free, but doing it more in a three-piece kind of Cream, Revolution Saints, whatever, kind of do it our way, you know?
Yeah.
So that the song gets presented, but it doesn't sound like necessarily like the Whitesnake record. It would sound like the way that we would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd definitely be a worthwhile going to check that out. Absolutely.
It'd be fun, man.
Yeah, because me and Scott talked a couple of weeks ago about, you know, that I think Alessandro, you could pair up all these groups, Revolution Saints, Sweet Lynch, Rated X, all on the same bill.
Well, you know, I know that there's a lot of that stuff that goes on, and I was talking about this with a friend of mine yesterday, that sometimes these things end up not really going into the full band mode because people are so busy and they can't do it, and it's unfortunate because the fans of the band and the fans of the music really get attached, and they want to see it live, and they want to, you know, they want to have an opportunity to support the band. And if the band goes away, it's a drag, you know. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that that we'll be in a different situation. I don't know about the Rated X. I don't know what their plans are, but I know that Joe's out doing stuff.
They've got dates in Europe, in the summer. They definitely have one.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then Sweet Lynch, I've heard, is really really cool. I haven't not heard the record, but I've heard it's really good.
It is good.
And I think those guys probably will do something. So
yeah. I think when you look at it from a fan's perspective, Doug, you know, it's kind of, you get the record and you're like, God, I'd love to see that live, and then they're onto something else. Or I understand, you know, the business is not, you know, is not as good as it used to be. So I can understand, like, you know, you got to kind of move around to a lot of different things. But I think for fans that like to see the live experience, it can kind of be a bit of a bummer, you know?
I understand. I get it. Cause it's the same thing. I, you know, with certain bands that had wanted to see live, and I never got to, like bands like Black Country Communion. Because I think mostly they did stuff was in the UK maybe or something. They don't really be in, that I know of. I didn't get a chance to see them in the West Coast of the US.
Yeah.
But it remains to be seen what the plan is going to be. We've got, like I said, we've got a couple of really substantial offers that we would love to pursue.
Nice.
And we're just gonna work towards that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit ways off. So
yeah. Yeah, now one of the things you did a few months ago that I really wish you would have come over here. You did some Burning Rain shows on the West Coast, and not only did you do the shows, but you did it with the band that played on the Epic Obsession record, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, well, it was fun because we just hopped in a van and we went in, you know, old school style. We had a little spot where one person at a time could sleep, and we shared rooms a couple times. And it was, you know, at this point in my life, that's not necessarily what you really look to do, but we had fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And we got it together. We played well, and it felt good, you know, coming home and feeling like we accomplished something. And so we've got some spot dates coming up, some more stuff, including, we're going to be playing the Frontiers Festival and, which actually, Revolution Saints was offered, and I wish we could have. But since Revolution Saints wasn't able to, Burning Rain was asked to come over to Italy and play. And so we're gonna just do a one-off in Moscow, and then go into Milan and do the Frontiers Festival. Nice. And we'll see, man. I would absolutely love to bring Burning Rain around and do a little East Coast thing or in maybe key markets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you still doing Raiding the Rockvault, Doug, or is that finished for you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're still doing.
No, I'm still doing it. I actually got a substitute so that I could do things because initially when I joined Raiding the Rockvault, I was in Whitesnake, and they said, listen, just sign for a couple months and have some fun. You know, you'd be a great addition to it. And I ended up really enjoying it and loved playing every day and then being able to go home and go to sleep and wake up and do breakfast for my kids and all that stuff. It was awesome. And so it's just gone on. And I started to really, I really believe in the thing, and I wanted to help from my end and help make it successful. And we since then moved to the Tropicana Hotel, and Like I said, I got a substitute, so I can take time off when needed, and it's not full time, but I'm pretty much I'm there a lot of the time, and it's a good, it's a really good show. It's a very you know, full on rock concert type of atmosphere, and it's not your typical Vegas thing that is kind of just staged out and planned. This is like a live, this is full on live, no tracks, no tapes running. This is all live and loud and dangerous. You know, there's a lot of improvisation that goes on in terms of certain aspects to it. So that keeps it fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. I know when I talked to Paul Shortino a while back, he was really enthused about it. He's like, you got to come to Vegas and you got to come see this thing. And he was just on and on about it. He was definitely just singing his praises.
Well, Paul, he's a big part of it. I mean, he's a very memorable person, memorable singer, and he's got such a strong character that fits perfectly into this thing because, and that's what, you know, that's what's great about it, and having various different singers like Paul and Robin and Andrew Freeman, and now Mark Bowles is doing it too, from the Yngwies band. Mm-hmm. And, these guys all have different sounds to their voices and they can cover a lot of ground. Whereas if you go see, say for example, I mean, you know, Kings of Chaos or something, that's another big name group of guys. But you got somebody like Steven Tyler or Glenn Hughes singing these vocals. That's amazing. But if they're singing the whole show, then you're only kind of getting that one side. If they do a thing where they trade off, then you got the best of Glenn, you got the best of Steven, right, and whoever else they might have. And that's what we have.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I noticed one of the things that you guys did is you used Pledge Music when you did this album and stuff. Are you pretty happy with how Pledge Music worked out for you?
Actually, I don't know that much about it. I'm still in the process of getting materials together for it. So mm-hmm. They're coming. The stuff is coming, like, for example, the signed album covers. And I think what you're talking about is like the pre-order type of thing.
Mm, right.
But I'm best when I'm left just to play guitar and to write and to you know, do that kind of thing. I'm not as much involved in the business end.
Man's got to know his limitations.
Because we have James Blades, we have Jack Sun kind of handling
the
management end of it and business end of it. So he's awesome. And he's you know, Jack, flesh and blood. So He really takes care of us and makes it so that we don't have to worry about some of that stuff. He just basically says, okay, show up here, do that, record this, and we're good to go.
Awesome. So, well, that's good. You know, I mean, you hear that, and I think, well, you're a guitar player. That's what you're, you know, you have been at heart and stuff. And so to me, that all comes back to being like, really the possibility is there of, you know, you guys being able to tour. I mean, Dean, Jack, I mean, you guys have all been road dogs, been playing live for a long time. So when you say you got a guy in the back office that you can trust and is taking care of things, I mean, that leaves you to do what you do best, and that's play.
Yeah, and he's fielding offers, and he's trying to work out schedules, and I think it makes it, because if it's left to the three of us, it gets complicated. But when you got one guy in charge, and he's really talented, then it makes it a lot more possible to come to fruition. But to answer your question, he worked on the Pledge Music. He put it together with Frontiers and also Dean's personal manager. And it seems like a really great thing. I don't really know how it works exactly, but it seems like a really good thing for the fans.
Yeah, so, well, if you're big into the physical product, you know, and you want something, you know, collectible or memorable, it's the way to go now.
Well, I think that's the nice thing that I like about it is that it's another way of getting people to actually go and buy the product instead of taking it. And you get something that's really good. You can't get anywhere else. And it just, to me, I think a good way to finally get people back to actually buying the music again.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Then that's what we want. Because, right, you know, if you read it, I mean, even I'm guilty of it myself, where I used to have, I mean, a massive collection of CDs and records and stuff. But now it's so easy to buy it And I don't steal my music. I buy it, but I do buy it from places like iTunes a lot. And I know from experience that the artist doesn't get paid that well. So it's even though you're buying the music, by the time it's all said and done, the artist is getting a couple of cents for the song, and that's not going to sustain where we want music to be, which is, self-supporting.
That's right.
So anyway, Doug, is there any websites or Twitter or anything that people can get in contact with you?
Yeah, there's, I'm actually, it's funny you mention that, because I have been, I had kind of lost contact with my webmaster who was in Japan, and she was running it from Japan, and then she said, here's your login details, but the login was all in Japanese. So I kind of got locked out of my own website, but finally I had some people get on it, and actually my wife, Dani, she was kind of spearheading it, because she's like, you need to have a website. And I was like, I do. I'm just not able to do anything with it because I can't read Japanese. So we're very close to making a switch over to a new site for DougAldrich.com.
Nice.
Basically, as it is, and then people can. I'm really having fun reaching out with people on Twitter, and it's you can search my name, and you'll find me. The handle thing is at Douglas. _ and then Aldrich is on a Twitter, and there's a Facebook thing. I'm not as good with Facebook and Instagram, but I'm starting to get into Instagram a little bit more, because it's also pretty easy, like Twitter, to do. And aside from just people that come in to look at me, I like kind of searching out people and things, and I found some sites on Instagram that are awesome photography sites that, not only beautiful photography things, but also stuff like, Jimmy Page, so there'll be constantly new photos of Jimmy Page from stuff that I had never seen before, all the way up till, current stuff. Yeah, Every day there's a new picture. And yeah, it's like, wow, stuff. I never saw that. So I love stuff like that.
Yeah, old school.
So people can reach out to me there, and I'm able to get back and hit them back and stuff. So also I just wanted to say, because that's why I'm doing this, is Revolution Saints does have a Facebook that is just getting going, and it's got it's doing really well and getting a lot of action. So that's a cool thing, and people can check out and get updates from there. They're going to be happening all the time. Thanks for your time, guys, and congratulations on what you're doing with Focus on Metal. And it's cool that there's people like you guys keeping it alive.
Yeah, we do our best, Doug. Okay.
thanks so much, boys. No, all right.
Take care.
Good talking to you. I'll talk to you whenever you want to get that together.
Sure. Excellent. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Great.
Bye.
I know what you're thinking. Get what together? Well, we can't let you in on that game right now. Just let's say a little secret project going on that we're doing with the one and only Doug Aldrich. Hopefully that will come together as planned, and it will soon be into your little metal ear holes. In the meantime, we got a little bit of time left on the show today. And as some of you may or may not know, Queensryche has been in the studio writing the follow-up to the killer self-titled album they put out with Todd LaTorre. That kind of got my mind going, hey, why don't we play a little bit of the band that Todd LaTorre came from, that being Crimson Glory. So here's a taste for you of Crimson Glory. The name of the track is called Dragon Lady, with the unmistakable voice of Todd LaTorre. I mean, come on, you know me. You know I can't do the entire episode playing nothing but melodic metal. I have to have something else as well. So here it is.
Warnings in the wind.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Doug Aldrich. And definitely go out and get yourself the Revolution Saints release out this week. And that's also still up on the Pledge Music as well. So go up there, and they have a lot of other, you know, if you really want to get a little bit more about the album and, you know, maybe you want a shirt or, you know, one of the deluxe edition discs. That one's got the DVD in there, yeah. Some bonus tracks mm-hmm. and stuff. Lots of other things you could do on Pledge Music for that. Definitely go up to Pledge Music and look that up. And it seems like there's a lot of bands that have been filtering into Pledge now over the last, like the last 2 months.
I like it.
You know?
I like it.
And it's just been, it's been interesting to see it pick up.
It's an
that
extra,
quick.
It's an extra option.
Yeah.
You have the people that they might want the CD or they might go to iTunes, mm-hmm. and that's fine. But if you want a little bit more and you've got a little bit of extra coin floating around,
yeah,
there's all these different things up there. They're worth a look. You might still go, eh. But then you might go, oh, yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah, you know? There's even a few that I was looking the other day, and some of them, some of the stuff that they were offering and stuff, and I was like, really, they're offering that for only for that? Like, I was amazed at some of the price points as well. Like, wow, these guys are really giving back to the fans, like, over and above.
Well, you think they're not, the album's funded.
Yeah.
So they're not trying to fund the record.
Right.
So this is all extra stuff.
Right.
But
well, like that band I was just talking about, they actually did their album funding on Pledge Music, so they're already fully funded.
Yeah,
and they're still, but they still got a long way until the album even comes out. So, but as a, you know, because like the Sweet Lynch one, we talked to Michael about that, and yeah, Frontiers already did that. This was just another way to connect with the fans that they use Pledge Music for. So, like you said, that one was already funded, but there are bands that are fully funding their albums.
Yeah.
On there as well. So definitely, like I said, I know I'm going off on a tangent, but go up to Pledge Music, check it out. Good stuff there as well. But a good get as far as getting Doug on.
Oh, I love talking to Doug.
It was good. Yeah, it was good having him back on again. It really was.
Hopefully we'll have him on again at some stage.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll have to work that up, and you never know. But anyways, good stuff, and more to come. I'll say we are one step closer to launching a Little Mountain project.
It's done. It's finished.
Well, it's...
No, it's finished. It's 10 interviews in total.
But I got a buttload of editing to do before... It's not finished.
It's 10 interviews. It's finished in my hand.
I'm looking at the big mountain of Little Mountain right now, which is the hours and hours of editing. But honestly, one of the things is always be with these series is that Dario does a great series graphic for us.
I only saw it tonight, and he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, so he's come up with a great graphic to run for this one. So definitely now we're one step closer to being able to do it now that we got the show graphic. Just something that ties it all together and stuff. And then, like I said, I've got to do just a whole crap load of editing.
I've already had one or two of them on. They can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
We're actually on this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it'll be a trip down memory lane for a lot of these guys.
Yeah. So good. So lots of good stuff still happening here, despite the snow and everything. And it looks like it's still shaping up to be a great year of metal here on Focus on Metal. And that'll do it for this week. Mm-hmm. Any words of wisdom?
No. Well, nothing? Last week we had a new album band. This week we have an 80s melodic rock band.
That's fine.
Fuck knows what we have the week after.
Don't know. But anyways, all right, that will do it for this week. This is Scott
and Richie
saying have yourselves a good metal week. And until we talk to you again, remember,
focus on metal.
Everything else is insignificant.
Still here? It's over. Go home.